Can you hear me? Hear me okay? Well, on behalf of the Treasure Valley Local, I want to say hi. And I gotta give everybody, gotta squeeze in together because I gotta give you a big group hug from everybody, especially Mary. Karen just got off the phone with her and she's like, yeah, it's a balmy 29 degrees over there. I'm like, well, it's not that much hotter over here. So, but what comes to mind right now, when Andrew said that we just ate lunch and you know, to now's a time where we have that food coma going on. And right when he said that, I'm like, man, I hope the preacher doesn't preach long. And I said that. And so I'm like, wait a minute, that's me. And but I do promise you, I'm not going to have a two-hour preaching service. But I do pray that you will listen attentively. This is a sermon that I've been pondering over of what how I should present it to everybody. But I want to start out with one of the testimonies that our brother gave, or not, it wasn't even a testimony, I'm sorry. When Adam was speaking yesterday, and he said that, you know, people have needs, and God knows what our needs are. And God presents us, he answers our prayers, and provides for us. But then I want to expound on that. You know, we know that God always fulfills our needs if we ask prayerfully for it, and if it's a need that he knows that we do need. And so what I want to talk about today, and I entitled my sermon today, Can You Wait on God's Timing? Can you wait on God's timing? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm finding out that I'm like one of the most impatient people on the planet. I don't have patience. And that's, Karen can attest to this, that on a daily basis, every time I pray for patience. I do pray for patience. And the reason why I bring that up is because when God speaks out to you, are you prayerfully listening when he speaks? And if you don't have patience to hear him speak, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss it. And you'll never get a blessing or a miracle or whatever he has to offer you. It'll just disappear because you weren't ready for it. In today's society, okay, and there's going to be some class participation later on. In today's society, everybody is everything is rush, 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 and we know that. We know that. And I'm going to pick on one of our sisters. Yesterday, she handed me a piece of paper, and she's like, "I need you to know. I need to know who's your assistant, and I need to know what your title is, and all that. And I want it yesterday." And she's laughing right now. I can hear her. But I'm not going to say her name. But I can hear her. Okay. But what was she doing? She was trying to get everything organized so we can spend time with God. To spend time with God. To where everything has to be perfect for him. And if it's not perfect, that's okay. He's okay with that. But everything is a rush, rush, rush. Everything's on a schedule. Everything's on a certain time frame. Demands have to be met. But what happens when that happens? When we're in a total frantic mode, we skip things. We miss out on things. And sometimes when we're on a schedule and we're trying to make everything right, we forget exactly what we were trying to fix in the first place. I see it all the time. All the time. I work with lots and lots of engineers and supposedly smart people that they're on a time schedule. And I mentioned that during my testimony today. It is no secret right now. Some of the projects I'm on are dealing with satellites. that they're on a tight schedule to get these components that we're building for satellites to be launched in space. And if we're in a rush, and something goes wrong, we can't just send out a Mr. Fix-It to go out and fix it. This product has to last at least 15 to 20 years before they are no longer in use, in service. And so everything's on a tight schedule. And so, and I picked on Joel earlier, where he approached me, he's like, "You look very tired," or something. I forget what you said, but you said I look very tired. And I am very tired. And it took me coming here to wind down, to physically spend some time with God. I look so forward to it. Now I'm going to ask for some class participation. And I say class, but okay, show of hands. Who here likes to wait in traffic lights? Okay, there's a weirdo. There was something on the internet that in a lifetime somebody will spend close to 3 years waiting in traffic lights. In a lifetime. Now this is on the internet, so it's got to be true. Okay, but think about that. Think about waiting in traffic lights. Okay, nobody likes it. But here we are. We wait in traffic lights. How about being in long lines in the grocery store? Okay. I don't see any hands. Oh, there's a few hands raising. Okay. Being in long lines at grocery stores. Okay. I don't know about you guys, but I shop at Walmart a lot, where you have like 700 people waiting in line and only two registers open. Okay. If you guys work at Walmart, there's some feedback for you. Okay. But it's not fun to wait in line. We're constantly waiting. I got another one here where it's doctor's offices. Okay. Is there anybody, a nurse or doctor or somebody that works in as a receptionist at a doctor's office? Why did they tell us to be there a half hour early before they see us? When you know that we're going to be in the waiting room at least an hour to an hour and a half before we're even seen. Okay, why is that? We're waiting. Waiting for what? Okay, now here's where it's going to get a little dicey. And gentlemen, guys, I want you to pay close attention. Please do not raise your hand. Okay? Please don't raise your hand. Okay? You already know what the question is, don't you? Okay. Who likes waiting on their spouse? Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Okay. Don't do it. But it's a natural thing. It's a daily thing. You know, we're on stuff that we have to wait on. That we don't like it, but we deal with it. We really do. We deal with it. And guys, thank you so much for not raising your hand. You're spared one more day. But now I got here in big bold letters. What about waiting on God? What about waiting on God? I've said this in testimonies before. I've said it during preaching service. I said it some of it in our classes and stuff like that. Where, yeah, I'm very impatient. And when I kneel down and pray for something that I need, not more than 30 seconds after I do that prayer, I'm saying, okay, God, how about now? What about now? Can I get it now? Now. And that's where I started realizing I don't have patience. And that's something I needed to work on because I need to wait. God wants you to wait. He's not going to give you an answer right away. If it's not really not that critical, He won't. If it is critical, He might. But you're still going to wait for it. Ecclesiastes, hey, I said it right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Okay. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. God does. And when we lift up our voices in prayer, asking for something that's good and right, God will answer your prayer. But he's going to answer it in his time, not your time. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons for that. He's teaching you patience. He is physically teaching you patience. When you have decisions to make and you have to act upon them quickly, how do you react to them? Or if you have to act upon something a little bit slower, to wind down, take a breath, ease into it, how do you react to that? Or are you just like, okay, I got to get it done. But sometimes we don't have to do that. We need to wait. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And every time I read these scriptures, I always think about that song. Everybody knows these verses. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal." I always stop at that one. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Why would they say that to us? And then I thought deeply about that, and it's like, we have the ability to kill our own souls. We do. We have our own free will that can utterly destroy our souls. But then we got to sit back and remember, okay, now's the time to heal it. God's reaching out. He's going to fix my soul. He's going to correct it. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. God sets the time frame. Always has, always will. So when we're reaching out to God and we're wanting questions or answers right away, that's not how he works. That's not how he works. It's on his time frame, his time. Time means nothing to God. So if we want something right away or something that can take a little bit, it doesn't matter. It's when he knows it's the right time to produce it. Now I'm going to answer his prayer. Now I'm going to give her a blessing on his time. If Jesus was to all of a sudden appear before you, okay, and I want you guys to seriously think about this. If all of a sudden he was standing right smack dab in front of you, and he said, okay, I need you to do this for me right now, how would you react? What would you do? Okay. Besides me, I'd probably just pass out right there. But what would you do? And the reason why I brought that up is there's times where I ask myself that very question. If he was to stand right before me today and say, Rich, I need you to go do this, the thought process that came to my head was, I need to think about this. And I'm going to stop. Boom. Give me some time to think about it. Okay. Is that the right answer to give Jesus Christ? No. No. Okay. He wants you to act upon it right now. Okay. Show of hands. Who here is a parent? Show of hands. Okay, guys, you can raise your hands now. Okay. Show of hands. Who's parents? Okay. Same thought process. If your child approaches you, or you approach your child, right, and go up to him or her and say, I need you to go right now and go in there and clean your room. Okay? Has that ever popped out of a parent's mouth? Yeah. I need you to go in there and clean your room. Now, how would you react to that if little Bobby sat there and said, I need some time to think about this? Okay? There's a lot of laughing going on, okay? And as parents, you already know the answer to that. You're going to tell them, you do it right now. I told you to go do it right now. Now, I'm old school. That's how I would have reacted to that. And if you got questions about it, ask my daughter. She'll tell you. Go clean your room. Okay? But that's how we're supposed to react if God approached us. Okay? It's a commandment. It is a commandment. It's not, well, I want you to think about this. And he's telling us to go do it. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses. Mark chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It says, And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. A lot happened in just those two verses. A lot happened in those two verses. The first thing that happened is Jesus approached him. And it was a commandment. Come after me. Come after me. And I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets. Okay. Straightway they forsook their nets. We don't talk like that nowadays. Okay. But they dropped their nets. They didn't question it. They didn't think about it. They dropped their nets and they followed him. They didn't say to Jesus, the fish are biting right now. I got to go fishing. They didn't say that. They dropped what they were doing. Can we do that? Can we do that? Psalms 119, verse 60. Just one verse. It says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. If God gives you a commandment, he gave you a commandment. Act upon it. Act upon it. Don't wait. Don't think about it. You'll know if it's truly from him. We're told to try those spirits. And you'll know if it's good or if it's not. But try them. Know where it came from. Know where that commandment came from. Parents, as well as our Father in heaven, and I want you guys to really think about this as parents, because God already knows. He knows this, that we want our kids to grow up and be good kids. Okay? We don't want bad kids. Okay? If kids are bad, we still love them, but we still pray that they change. Okay? And God knows that. But the beauty of that with God, now I'm turning it over to God, not parents, but the beauty of that is God knows that that change is not going to happen overnight. It can't. It's impossible. It will not happen overnight. And we as parents need to come to terms with that. Okay. When God makes you wait, and I don't know if I've heard this in Phoenix during a testimony. I'm pretty sure it was a testimony. And I put it in here. I said, when God makes you wait, remember that He is preparing you to receive a much bigger and better blessing than what you anticipated yourself. That's true. If you pray for a blessing and God makes you wait upon it, I guarantee you, you're going to get a bigger and better blessing. But on His time. And I'm almost positive I heard a sister say that during a testimony years ago. That she asked for prayers, wasn't receiving a blessing right away, Then all of a sudden, she was overwhelmed with the blessing she received. God's preparing us. He's making us wait for a bigger and much better thing. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, remember that, for now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold and that perisheth, though it be tried but with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay. Have we all gone through temptations? Have we all had problems in our lives? Problems where we sat down and like, God, I'm done. I am physically, mentally done. I can't move on. I need your help. God never left you. A sister said that in a testimony today. He was always there. He was just waiting. Waiting for you to reach out to Him. And once we do that, now it's our turn to wait for His response. We'll get it. We will always get a response from God. He's not going to put us on hold. He'll make us wait a little bit, but I guarantee you, you're still connected. You're still very much connected with Him. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Just 24 more pages, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Okay. Do we search the Scriptures diligently? Another one of my prayers I pray along with patience is, God, give me the ability to retain. I want to retain the information that I receive. I've got everything I need right here of how to live my life, but now I want to retain it. I want to remember it. God, give me that knowledge. Give me that retention ability. I don't want to lose it. It may sound so small, so trivial, but it means a lot to me. Especially, you know, where I hear members that have been in church all their life. All their life. And you ask them, you know, I've heard the scripture before. It says this, and they'll, boom, tell you right away what book it's in, what chapter it's on, what page it's probably on. I want that. I crave that. Not because I'm jealous of our brother or sister. It's because I want that knowledge of what God has to tell me of how to lead my life. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Day by day, he's planting it in there. Rich, remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Rich, you remember that? Yeah, I remember that. Our brother Charlie in Idaho, he heard me make a prayer. He heard me make that prayer. God, give me the knowledge to retain that information. And that day, he was conducting class, and he made a statement, a comment, and all of a sudden, a thought came in my head, and I'm sitting there scrambling in the book. I'm like, okay, I know where that is. And he caught on to that really quick. He caught on to that, and he's like, Rich, do you know what just happened? I'm like, no, I don't know. What happened? He goes, you remembered. You remembered. You were looking for that scripture that you remembered. I rejoiced of that. That wasn't me. That was God saying, Rich, you've heard this before. You've heard it before. And that's how God works. You know, I'm not asking God, you know, God, give me, I want to know every scripture, every word for word, right now. It's not going to happen. I already know that. I accept that. I accept that. But he is working with me. He's given me the patience, and he's given me the knowledge and the retention. I'm sorry, guys. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm just going to read 4 verses. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay. That one describes me perfectly. Okay. I want patience. I want it. I'm craving it. I want it so badly. I need it. God, give me the patience. But then, in 20 seconds later, I'm like, God, how come you haven't given me the patience yet? Why? Okay. I'm not reaching out to him correctly. I'm doing it all wrong. When I'm asking for patience, I need to be patient for the answer. Okay. That's a battle that's going in my head right now. God, give me the patience. I want it. And then when I calm down and regroup and take a breath, God's like, okay, now you have patience. Here it is. Here's your answer. It's that easy. It's that quick. But he was waiting. He was waiting for me to wait on him. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Our brother Adam said that in a testimony today. Okay. We know how people that have been baptized into the Church of Christ would react to situations like he was in. We already know that answer. It's not even a thought process. My brother is in need. He's stuck somewhere. I'm going to go help him. Okay. Just remember, I live in Idaho. I don't live close by. So, but it's true. We will help him. And I did mention that during our service today in the testimony. The first time we stayed at Brian and Becky's house. Okay. I didn't really mean it to be a funny topic. It just, you know, it was a thought that came across. I'm like, how much do we pay them for allowing us to stay at their house? Is it $50, $100 a night? Do we tip them? How much do we tip them? Okay. And Brian even said, he goes, tomorrow morning when I wake up, there's going to be a little note, a little bill under the door. Okay. But it's something that Karen and I, we did not know. We didn't know. Until now, we know the love of our brothers and sisters. It's so perfect, I want to say, that I can go anywhere in this world. And Brian and I, we have. Anywhere. If you're a Church of Christ member and we stay at your house, it feels like I've known you for 17 years. It's no different. Except the food. The food might be a little bit different, but the people and their hearts and their love for their brothers and sisters is the same. Okay? Who taught us that? Where did we get this information from? How did we learn this? This is new to me. This is new. I wasn't born and raised in the Church of Christ. I was 34 years old when I committed my life to Christ. 34. And I'm bad at math, so I think that was, 5 years ago? Is that right? No. But I committed my life to Christ, and he completely turned my life around. And why? Because I waited for it. He didn't give it all to me all at once of how to lead my life. It's like, okay, here, Rich, do this, fix this, you're okay on that, fix this. Okay, now you got that down packed, let's move on to the next subject of how to conduct your life. And I'm waiting for it on a daily basis. I learn something new every day. And I think I heard this in a sermon, somebody said this today. Okay? Not only the ministers have a calling. Okay? I 110% believe that. It's not just the ministers that have a calling. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has a gift that God provides you. And he calls you out. Kids, they have a calling. When they come up here and they sing their songs, okay? Who gives them the courage to do that? God does. God's using them. God is physically using them. Okay? That's their calling. And I don't know our brother, but you're literally right in front of my face. I don't know your name, but when he plays the cello, I never heard him play the cello. But when he was playing, I shut my eyes. I completely just shut my eyes. I'm like, boy, God, you gave him a gift. You gave him a gift. And now I'm rejoicing over it. Okay? That's how God works. That's how God works. But I got to be in tune with that. If I was distracted during the services, I would have missed out on that. I would have completely missed out on that. And hey, did you hear someone's, what is your name anyway? I'm sorry. Van? Okay. Hey, did you hear Van play the cello? No, I missed that. I was too busy. I was distracted. Well, it was wonderful. You missed out on a lot. Okay. patience. Be willing to wait on God, because God is reaching out. His spirit was right here. God's spirit was here this morning. I felt it. When our brother was playing that cello, I'm picking on you. When he was playing that cello, I shut my eyes and I listened to every single note. Everything that was sung, played, everything. I was soaking it in. God was giving me that patience to do that, not to be distracted. I was willing to wait. You know, come on, this song is taking too long. No. I was waiting for it. Okay, remember, this one I always focus on. How much time do I got? This one I always focus on. I put, remember that you are not the only one who's waiting on God. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is sometimes when I kneel down in prayer and I don't get an answer right away, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but if you don't get an answer right away, do you ask God, God, how come I haven't got that answer yet? I do that. I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that. God, how come you haven't given me an answer yet? And he's already physically showing me the answer right there. Wait on it. I need you to wait. But how many people in the Bible have waited for God? Okay. Who can name one right off the bat that waited for God for an answer? Moses? Okay. Moses? Okay. Everybody. See, it goes on and on and on. There's countless numbers of them. Okay. I got down here, Noah. Okay. How did Noah wait on God? Okay, Noah, I know you live in the desert, but I need you to build an ark. I need you to build a ship in the middle of the desert. Okay. Did that ark happen overnight? No, it didn't. It did not happen. It was not built overnight. And he had to wait on instructions on how to build it. But in the same time frame, he was getting ridiculed by the people around him. Why are you building an ark? There's no rain. But he waited on God. He served God, and he focused on that commandment that God gave him. It didn't happen overnight. Abraham. Okay, now I'm going to ask the people that have been here in church for a long time. How old was Abraham when he had his son?
9 years.
Okay. Is that old to have a child? Think about that. Think about being that old. Oh, I'm sorry. That young. Okay. And having a child. Okay. He waited. He desired to have a son. And waited and waited and waited and waited. And maybe God had a sense of humor, like, okay, when you're 90, you're going to have a son. But look what came out of that. Look what came out of that. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 15 says, for God is not, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye may, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, there's that word again, and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear to no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that, that he had patiently waited, endured, he obtained the promise. Okay? God can keep a promise. God can keep a promise. Has anybody here ever broken a promise? I'll raise my hand. I've broken a promise. I've broken a promise. Ask Karen about McDonald's one day. Okay, if you want to know the story about me breaking a promise, ask her about McDonald's. But God gave Abraham a promise, and he kept it. Abraham waited on God, and he received. God provides you with things he knows are best for you, and he will give them to you if you patiently wait. Okay. Karen and I were in, was it Oahu? I think it was. We were in Hawaii, and we were staying at this resort, and I don't know how it was brought up, but somebody came up and said, yeah, they asked what I did, and I said, well, I'm a minister for the Church of Christ. They said, yeah, we got a minister here that he lives in a 6,500 square foot house, and it's gated, and he has a Ferrari. And I'm like, what kind of minister is that? He's truly serving God? He needs a Ferrari to get to church quicker? I don't know. Okay. But it made me cringe. It made me cringe. I've been asked several times before, if you're in the ministry, you probably heard this question asked. How much do you guys get paid? Okay. How much do you guys get paid? Anyone? We don't get paid. I'm not going to accept filthy lucre. It's written right there in the scriptures. But there's ministry out there that do get paid. And they're living very well. Very well. But are they truly preaching God's message? By showing up in a Ferrari? No. No. So that's how God provides you with things that he knows are best for you. Pray for things that you know you need. God already knows what you need. And if it's good and right, he's going to give it to you. He will provide you. Mark chapter 11. Just two verses. Mark chapter 11, two verses says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall no doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and shall have them. That explains a whole bunch. The only thing that I see that's missing from there, wait patiently. Okay? Wait patiently. you will receive them. We've all received blessings. Each and every one of us. When we get up out of bed, that's a blessing, people. Seriously, it's a blessing. God spared me one more day. That's a blessing. There's some people out here that have experienced miracles. Miracles, a whole different ballgame. Experience a miracle. Did it come instantly? Sometimes, maybe. Maybe. Depends on what condition, what state you're in, on how quickly God will react. I'm a firm believer in that. I've seen miracles happen. Physically seen miracles happen. I've got countless blessings. I've had a long conversation with my mother-in-law, Mary, and she's like, you will never, ever, ever, and this is Mary talking, you will never, ever be able to count all the blessings God gives you. Never happen. It's true. You will lose count of how many blessings God gives you on a daily basis. I'd like to close in the second book of Nephi. I'd like to close in the second book of Nephi, chapter 5. I'm going to actually turn to that. Second book of Nephi, chapter 5. So I can get a page. And I'm going to start on verse 16. On page 99. And I'm going to close with just these verses. Second book of Nephi, chapter 5, starting on verse 16, it says, "And now these are the words. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people." Okay. Stop right there. So much goes on in just these simple verses. What was told to us just now? What was told just in that one verse right there? Okay. God is going to set the standard for his people. Okay. He's telling you, this is how I want you to be. This is how you're going to be my child. You're going to be my children. I'm going to be your God. This is what I want you to do. He's setting a standard. Did it happen overnight? No. No. But yet he's right there setting that standard. Okay. We had to wait on it. Verse 18, it says, "And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their faces toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet." 21, I really want you to listen to this one. Okay. Because I've heard this in testimonies. I've seen it in public. Okay? And before I even read that scripture, if you're at a restaurant, are you ashamed to pray for your food? In a public restaurant? Okay? You don't have to answer me. Okay? What are you ashamed of? If you don't pray over your food, what are you ashamed of? God wants you to pray over that food. Okay? Don't be ashamed if somebody that's sitting 17 tables down is offended. Oh, I can't believe they're praying over their food. Really? I can't believe you're not. Okay? Think of those things. Okay? Think of those things. Verse 21, it says, "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." Okay. That's what God is asking. Wait for me. I will grant you the patience. I will grant you the knowledge, the ability to do so. All I need you to do is wait for me. Thank you.